Chapter 5
Dad? He didn't reply, just carried on staring out to sea. We'd spent half the day swimming round the coast, trying to keep out of sight and trying to figure out what to do next. We stopped to rest at a large rocky bay on the east of the island, just a little further down from our bay. I swam over to join him next to a huge boulder at the edge of the bay. Dad, I said again. I'm thinking, love. He said without turning round. Just give me a minute. I counted to 10. What are we going to do? He shook his head. I don't know, Em. I just don't know. I looked out to sea with him. The water lapped gently into the cove behind us. Daylight was starting to fade. I stared out at the horizon, so much ocean stretching out for miles and miles and miles, forever it seemed. Nothing but water. And the monster. Somewhere. A cold shiver rattled through my body. The water lay still, but how long till it would seethe with the Kraken's rage? The stillness was almost worse than that, knowing it was out there, waiting. Something flickered on the horizon, a brief flash of light. I jerked upright and peered so hard my eyes watered. There it was again. Dad! Emily, will you leave me alone? I told you, give me 5 minutes. I need to think. I shook his arm. Look! I pointed out to the horizon. Dad followed the line of my finger. Mothering muscles, he breathed, squinting into the distance. His words came out like a whistle. What's that doing there? What is it? Look, red, then green. Dad turned to me. It's a ship, Emily. A ship had got in. The Kraken had already pierced the triangle's border. It's not coming any closer, is it? I asked with a gulp. Doesn't look like it. Doesn't mean it won't, though. Dad pushed off from the rock and started to swim away. Come on. Where are we going? We'll have to say something. Say something? My words jammed up my throat. I swallowed hard. Who to? I don't know. Archie, I guess. Dad took hold of my hand. Emily, there's a ship coming towards the island. The others need to know that the Kraken's got out. No! Em, love, the monster could attack that ship. Or the ship could discover us here. Well, that'll be the end of us all. You heard what Neptune said. We can't stay here if the secret gets out. Can't you just see it? Hordes of tourists swarming the place. They'll turn us into a zoo or something. He turned to swim away. A zoo. My old fears of discovery resurfaced in a wave of anguish. What had I done? There must be something we can do, I said, swimming hard to keep up. This is the only thing. Dad's voice was firm. He didn't speak again. The water soon grew warmer as we reached the shallow sand, rippling like tire tracks across the sea floor. Dad wouldn't look at me. You go along home. Mum will be worried.
What about you?
I'm going to see if I can find Archie. I didn't move. It'll be all right, he said with a tight smile. Then he turned and swam towards the end of the bay, taking my last shreds of hope with him. Mum threw her arms round me the second I arrived back at Fortuna.
Emily! I've been worried sick! Where have you been? With Dad. I felt claustrophobic in the caves and we went exploring.
My cheeks burned. I hate lying to Mum.
Mary P., you really should listen to me. I told you she was safe, Millie said, pouring some herbal tea from a pot and settling down on the big sofa.
Millie saw a ship, Mum said.
She saw it, I burst out.
Mum looked at me quizzically.
When she did Neptune's reading, she had a vision of a ship. What ship did you think I meant?
Oh, no, nothing. Yes, that's what I thought you meant, I blustered.
Great move, Emily. Just give the game away to everyone.
I thought you'd said something about gold.
I tried to keep my voice even.
Yes, well, you can't be expected to get everything right all the time, Millie replied, sniffing as she picked up a magazine. So what did Neptune say about the vision?
I asked, holding my breath. Millie flicked the pages. Not everyone appreciates my gift. He told her he'd throw her off the island if she wasted any more of his time with her hocus-pocus, said Mum, smiling.
How could she smile? I could hardly speak.
I had to get away from here. I'm going to my room, I said. Before they had a chance to argue, I'd gone through to the back of the ship and closed my door behind me. Shaking, I sat down on the bed and looked round. Like all the others, the room had a trap door that led to the floor below, to the sea. I'd hardly used it yet. The one in the living room was open all the time, and it was bigger. I crept over to the trapdoor next to my bed and opened it up. Maybe... Emily! Mum was at my door. I jumped away from the trapdoor. I was just looking at the fish, I said quickly. Are you all right, love? Mum stepped into the room and came over to me. She lifted a strand of hair off my face, stroking it behind my ear. If there's anything you want to talk about... There isn't, I said, trying to make myself smile. I expect I looked a bit like a scared rabbit with a twitch. I'm fine, honestly, I said, just a bit tired. I stretched my mouth into a yawn. Look, see? I think I'll have a lie down. Mum stared at me quizzically for a moment before shrugging. Well, we'll be next door if you need anything. She kissed my forehead and left. I waited 5 minutes. She didn't come back. Right, this was it. I knew what I was going to do. I eased myself through the hole. Then, dangling over the side, I lowered myself down as gently as I could and let go. I dropped down below with a splash. Had they heard? I held my breath and waited. Nothing. I waited a bit longer to make sure my tail had fully formed. When the tingling and numbness had completely gone, I ducked under, swam through the big open porthole, and headed towards the ship. It was almost like the old days, swimming out to sea under a sky gradually filling up with stars. A stripy butterfly fish raced along beside me before slipping away into the darkness, disappearing under a rock. Shoals of silver-barred jacks hovered nearby, shining like pins in the darkness. Purple fans waved with the current caressing me as I sailed over them. It was nothing like the old days. In the old days, I was swimming out to meet my best friend. Now I didn't even know if I still had one. My chest hurt as I pushed myself to swim harder, swim away from the painful thoughts. The water grew colder and darker. I picked my way out towards the ship, praying there was no current round this side of the island. After a while, I stopped to scan the horizon, two dim lights facing me. It was a long way out, but definitely inside the triangle. I couldn't even see the island anymore, just blackness, except... What was that? Something flashed through the water. A boat? I held my breath while I watched. Nothing. It must have just been the moon's reflection. I swam on towards the ship. Maybe I could stop it from finding us, get it away from the island. I had to buy some time. Eventually, I was close enough to study it. A cruise liner with three levels of portholes and balconies, all lit up with lamps. The sides rose steeply out of the water. I swam all around it, looking for a way in. There was a rope ladder hanging down at the back. I tried to make a grab for it, but missed it by inches. I heaved and jumped up in the water. No good. Was just out of reach. I swam round again looking for something else, and right at the front I found it, the anchor. Gripping the chains, I pulled myself out of the water. My tail dangled and flapped in the sea. Panting and gritting my teeth, I managed to inch my way up. Eventually I'd done it. I clung onto the chain like a koala, my body clear of the water. Within moments I got that tingly sensation I knew so well. My legs had come back. I hooked my feet into the loops, then slowly and carefully climbed up to the ship's deck. Hauling myself over the metal rail, I landed heavily on the deck. A quick look around. No one. Just me and the darkness and a row of deck chairs. I dried myself on a towel someone had left on one of them and pulled on the shorts I'd brought with me. Then I went to look for some signs of life. It didn't take long. Halfway down the side of the ship, I found some stairs and a door that led inside. There were sounds somewhere near. I followed the noise, almost sniffing my way towards it. Music. Laughter. Soon I came out of the narrow corridor into an open space with a few people dotted about. I tried to saunter in casually as though I belonged there, even though I knew I'd be sussed out in a second. But I wasn't. Some kids were playing in a tiny arcade on one side. On the other, a couple of men were drinking at a small bar. A man and a woman behind the bar laughed together. No one even looked up. A flight of stairs led up towards where the real noise was coming from. Okay, you can do it. I took a deep breath, twirled my hair a few times, nibbled on my thumbnails, and went upstairs. It wasn't till I saw all the food that I realized I was starving. I'd hardly eaten all day. I grabbed a paper plate and joined the queue behind a girl who looked about my age. Maybe she'd know something. It's great, this holiday, isn't it? I said as we shuffled along the food table, shoving tiny sausages and crackers and crisps onto our plates. Hmm, the girl replied through a pizza slice. Wonder how long before we move off, I said casually. She swallowed the pizza slice. My mum says we're not even meant to be here. She reckons we've gone off course. Doesn't matter, though, if we see it. See it? Yeah, that's what I thought, I said, trying to stay calm. I popped a mini sausage into my mouth. So, has anyone seen it yet? The girl put her plate down. Don't you know? Oh, I forgot. Remind me? But that's why we're here. Mum says more than half the passengers cancelled at the last minute. That's how we got our places. I bet Carefree Cruises are totally fed up with that captain. What was she on about? Yeah, I bet, I said seriously. What did he do again? I asked, quickly turning away to grab another handful of crisps. How can you not know? He saw Triggy, of course. First sighting in absolutely years. A crisp got stuck halfway down my throat. Triggy? I asked, swallowing hard. Don't tell me you haven't heard of Triggy. I tried a light-hearted shrug and a frown. Triggy, the triangle monster. I've always believed in it. Mum said it was just a silly fairy tale, but now she's not so sure. I hope we see it, don't you? I couldn't reply. I couldn't do anything. I tried. I opened my mouth, even moved my lips a little, I think. But nothing came out. Triggy. It sounded like a cartoon character. She had no idea. I thought of the slimy tentacles racing down the tunnel towards me, the suckers all along it, grabbing at the walls, the way it extended out, the hairy, tapered end touching me. The bones. Now these people were hunting it down, which either meant it wouldn't be long before they found us, or they'd be its next victims. I've got to go now, I said eventually. I staggered away from the food table. See you in the morning, she called before going back to her friend. Yeah. Whatever. I stumbled back down the stairs. At the bottom I took a turning which I thought led back to the corridor I'd come down earlier. But I emerged into another open space. I was about to turn back when I noticed a shop just ahead of me. It was closed now, but there was a poster in the window. I went over to take a closer look. It was the front page of a newspaper, the New Lando Times. Brave Captain Tells of Horror at Sea, the headline screamed across the top of the page. I read on. The old myth of Triggy the Triangle Monster rose up again today when Captain Jimmy Ulsthwaite was rescued from stormy seas by a local fisherman. Captain Ulsthwaite lost his boat when it was attacked by what he described as a monster beyond imagining, the size of a dinosaur, and a dozen tentacles that wrapped round the boat like a helter-skelter. His story has horrified and delighted tourists in equal measure. Katie Hartnett was among those setting sail today with Carefree Cruises. It's so exciting, she told the New Lando Times. My parents used to tell me stories about the Triangle Monster when I was little, but we never thought it might exist for real. Others have cancelled in droves. Pensioner Harold Winters was among them. We wanted a peaceful trip, not the fright of our lives, he said. The captain's sighting has not been confirmed. Coast guards are warning that it could be a case of delirium brought on by his traumatic capsize and rescue. Three others were believed to be on board the boat with the captain. Neither they nor the boat have yet been recovered. The boat was owned by a company called Mermaid Tours. I stumbled away from the shop. I was in one of those nightmares where you're stuck somewhere, trying every exit, but there's no way out, and every step takes you deeper into the horror. I found myself out on the deck again. Leaning over the railing, my stomach heaved. My mouth tasted like iron. I looked down at the sea, deep navy in the darkness. Little bright flecks sparkled white as the water lapped and splashed against the ship. There was another boat down there. I could just make out its shape. A small yacht. It looked as if it was coming towards us. Maybe they were checking their lifeboats for working or something. Well, they'd be needing them soon unless I could come up with a miracle. I had to do something. I couldn't just stand here staring at the sea. Then it came to me. I ran up steps, down ladders, along corridors, banged on doors, called through open windows, "Triggy! The monster!" People emerged from their rooms. Dressing gowns were pulled round bare bellies and boxer shorts. Women came out of their cabins in silk nighties, kids in twisted-up pyjamas. "Triggy!" I shouted at everyone I saw. "The monster! I've seen it!" "Where?" Open-mouthed gasps. "Over there!" I pointed away from the island. I pointed and pointed. "Tell everyone! Tell the crew!" I ran on as everyone I spoke to gathered along one side of the boat, all gazing out to sea, desperate for a sighting of something I wished with all my heart I would never see again. I had to find the captain. I ran on, down more corridors, until I barged slap-bang into someone. "Hey, what's all this?" It was a woman with a uniform on. She grabbed hold of my elbows, holding me at arm's length. "I need to find the captain," I gasped. "I've seen the monster." The woman frowned. "Yes, dear, I'm sure you have. Now, come on, why don't you..." "I have," I burst out. "I can prove it. It's... I gulped. The memory of it took my breath out of me for a second. I started again. "It's enormous, and it's got tentacles." "We've all seen the papers, sweetheart," the woman said, smiling. "Now, if you want an excuse to visit the captain, you can just say so. He's always happy for you kids to have a quick look round the cabin." Bingo. "Okay." The woman gently shook her head as she pointed towards some stairs. "It's up there. Turn right at the top, straight onto the end, and it's through the door ahead of you. But knock first. He doesn't take kindly to being barged in on." "Thanks." I took the stairs three at a time. I bashed on the door. "Come on. Come on." No one answered. "Come on. No time for politeness." I tried the door. It swung open. "I need to talk to the captain," I said breathlessly as I burst into the room. Two men were sitting in front of a load of dials drinking coffee. One of them swiveled round. "Now hang on, what's the... Are you the captain?" "I certainly am," he said. "And you can't just... I've seen the sea monster." The captain leaned forward in his seat. "The sea monster?" I nodded. His face relaxed into a slight smile. "Now, listen. You want me to tell you something about this sea monster?" he asked. I swallowed and nodded again. He lowered his voice. "It doesn't exist." I held his eyes. "It does! I've seen it!" The captain leaned back in his seat. "Right, let's have it then. Big thing with tentacles, was it?"
"Yes! That's exactly what it was!"
"Right." He was smiling, laughing at me. I had to convince him.
It's enormous!"
"Mm-hmm. Anything else?" the captain asked in a bored voice.
"The tentacles, they're tapered at the end."
He turned back to his tea. I racked my brain. "What else? What else?"
"And hairy, and they've got huge great suckers all along them," I blurted.
The captain put his cup down. "They what?" he asked, his face suddenly hard and focused on mine.
"And they're green and grey underneath and warty."
My voice trailed away as I remembered the sight of it. My teeth chattered. The captain turned to the other man. "That's exactly what my friend at the Coast Guard said."
"Sir, the newspaper report..."
The captain shook his head. "Those things weren't in there. Come on, man, face the facts. You saw the dials. You know we've been stuck here, spinning on the spot like a mini in a mud bath. There's something going on, and it's time we faced up to it. He moved his chair closer to mine and leaned towards me. Right then, he said. You'd better tell me exactly where you saw the sea monster. I'd done it. The ship had changed direction and we were heading directly away from the island. I sneaked along the empty deck. Every single person on the ship must have been crowded on the other side, peering into the darkness for a sight of something they thought would make their holiday. I thought of its flailing tentacles, the floor littered with bones, and I shivered. If only they knew. I hoped for their sake that they never would. I had to get back to the island. Maybe I could confess after all. If I told Neptune what I'd done here, how I'd stopped a whole cruise ship full of people from discovering us, he might even forgive me. I checked round one final time to make sure no one could see me. Then I slipped back into the water. Moments later, the familiar warm feeling spread through my legs as they turned back into my tail. It shone bright in the moonlight. Fish around me seemed to be dancing. I could make out their shapes in the darkness. They must have been happy for me. Maybe it was a sign. It was all going to be all right. I swam along, lost in my hopes that I could somehow make up for everything that had happened over the last couple of weeks. Perhaps Shona and I would be best friends again and the island would be safe. The Kraken might even go away and our lives in our new home could really start. Emily! I started and looked back, twisting round in the water. Two people were leaning out over a balcony, waving frantically. Why weren't they round the other side with everyone else? I edged back towards the boat. That's when I saw who it was. Mum! Thin and wiry, with wild hair waving her arms about. Someone was with her. Larger than life in a black cape. Millie! What the heck were... Emily! Mum screamed again. I swam closer to the ship, but it was picking up speed. I could hardly keep up. Watch the propellers! Mum shrieked. Don't come too close! Millie had sunk into a deck chair next to her, her head in her hands. A small yacht was moored on a buoy, near where the ship had only been moments ago. The one I'd seen coming towards us. I recognized it now. It was our old boat. They'd followed me. Mum! What are you doing here? We came to find you, but you just jumped off. It was Millie's idea, the vision, the boat. She'd seen you on it. What? You never told me that. Millie got up and stumbled across to clutch onto the railing. I kept it to myself, she wailed. I thought it would have sounded crazy. I've heard what people say about me. She leaned out over the railing. I'm sorry, Emily. I was too busy worrying about my reputation. We didn't think they'd get going again tonight. Mum called. Oh, no. My fault again. I'd made things worse again. The ship was only on the move because of me, and now it was moving faster and faster away and taking my mum with it. Mum! I tried to keep up. She was shouting something, but I couldn't hear her anymore. I could hardly even see her as the ship picked up speed. Mum! I yelled again uselessly into the darkness. As the ship slipped away, I let the current carry me along. No energy left. I drifted away from the ship, from the island, from everything that mattered. Tears streamed down my face as I howled in the darkness. And then... noise. Clattering, shuffling. What was happening? I mopped my cheeks with my palms. I'd got caught in... what? Seaweed? I flapped and scratched at it. Please, not the monster. I looked around me. A net! I was trapped in a net. A man was holding it, pulling at a piece of rope, dragging me through the water, propelling himself along with flippers. Flapping my tail, I tried to push myself away, but he was too strong. I struggled and fought, biting at the net, pulling at it with my fingers, cutting my hands, scraping myself all over. It was like wire. There was no way I could get through it. I scratched and screamed as he drew me through the sea. Soon the water grew warmer and shallower. We were at a tiny island, a little sandy bay with a few palm trees, a small boat moored to a pole and a makeshift lantern propped on the beach. The man tied my net to the pole. He pushed his mask and snorkel onto the top of his head. I couldn't make out his face properly in the shadowy light. I'm not going to hurt you, he said, panting from swimming so hard. Trust me.
I didn't say anything.
Do you speak English? He asked in a very loud voice. I ignored him. Stay here, he said as though I had a choice. He disappeared up the beach as I scraped and scratched at the net, trying to get out. Moments later, he was back with someone.
Dad, you're completely obsessed, a girl's voice was saying. It's the middle of the night.
The voice sounded familiar, but it couldn't be.
I said, didn't I? The man replied as they came closer. I told you, I told you. Now do you believe me?
He pointed in my direction. The other person waded towards me and peered at me in the darkness. As she came closer, I could just make out her face from the lantern's light. It was... I gasped and jerked backwards against the net, my mouth stupidly open. It couldn't be. How? It was someone I knew. Someone I knew well. Someone I thought I would never, ever have to see again.
M. Dad's caught a fish at last. Hallelujah. He's screaming and yelling at me to come and see it. You'd think no one had ever caught a fish in the sea before. But it's not a fish. He's got someone with him. I told you, I told you, he's yelling. I said I'd catch a mermaid, didn't I? Do you believe me now?
I get closer and I notice a tail.
No, can't be. He has. He's actually caught a mermaid.
It turns round. I see its face, its mousy hair, skinny, runty little arms.
It can't be. It's impossible, but it is. It is. I grab the lamp and bring it closer as I stare at her. It's Emily Windsnap. And then I remember. I remember everything. The pool, the swimming lessons. She came to us once before she left, showing off as usual. She had a tail. She swam in front of us all, swirling it round, grinning at me as if to say she'd won. It wasn't enough for her that everyone thought she was so wonderful. Julie, the swimming instructor, they all liked her more than they liked me, all thought she was better than me. She had to rub it in, didn't she? Had to prove they were right. How could I have forgotten? There was something afterwards. They gave us cakes. That was when it all faded, the cakes. Had they drugged them or something? And what the heck is she doing here?
Our eyes meet. She's as shocked as I am.
Mandy,
she says. I pull myself together quickly.
Oh, hi, Emily, I say, nice and calm. I sniff and turn to Dad. Why are you collecting garbage, Dad?
Dad pulls off his mask and snorkel.
What are you on about, Mandy? It's a mermaid. Dad, have you actually looked at her face?
He gawps at me for a second before turning to Emily, and then back to me.
I can almost see the realization crawling into his mind. He points at Emily. But that looks like...
Yeah, Dad, I say, trying to sound bored, or at least as if I've got a clue what's going on here.
It's Emily Windsnap. But how... But she's a...
His voice trails away. He looks at her again, then at me.
Don't be stupid, Mandy, he says suddenly. Of course it's not Emily Windsnap, it just looks a bit like her. This is a mermaid.
Mum's on the beach.
What's the fuss, Jack?
Dad runs towards her, ignoring me and ignoring reality, it seems.
No time now, Maureen, he says. We need to get ready. Where's all our stuff? What stuff?
Everything, everything we need. Get it into the boat. We're off as soon as it's light.
Off?
I follow Dad out of the water.
What do you mean, off? Where are we going?
Dad stops and turns back to me.
We're going home, Mandy, with our mermaid.
We're going to save the pier, just like I said. He runs over towards the boat.
But it's broken, I say, following after him. We capsized, remember?
I've been working day and night on this boat, he calls back. I think she's ready to sail again. Pack your things and then get some more sleep. First light of dawn and we're away.
Mum?
Her eyes are vacant. She looks as if she's already given up hope. I haven't got a clue what's going on, she says. What's that he's got in the net? I leave her to find out for herself as I follow Dad to the boat. Maybe we can sort everything out. Maybe he's right. It's worth a try, I suppose. Anything's better than rotting on this stupid island for the rest of our lives, even if it does mean sailing home with Fish Girl. The boat seems to be just about holding up. It would be better if Dad had the slightest idea how to drive it. We're buffeting about all over the place. He keeps yelling things at Mum like, "Get over onto starboard!" And, "We need to tack! Watch the boom! Lee-o!" She yells things back, but her words are washed away by the wind and the seawater spraying us on the back deck. Just as well. Judging by her expression, it's probably best if neither of us can hear what she's actually saying. Anyway, I'm busy with Emily. I've got to keep an eye on the net, make sure it doesn't come loose. Can't have her escaping. "Comfy down there, are you?" I call down to her. She's being pulled along like a water skier. She should be grateful for the free ride. "Enjoying your little trip?" "What are you going to do with me?" she whimpers. She's scared. Good. "Oh, didn't Dad tell you? We're taking you back to Brightport." The boat swerves and surges so I don't hear her reply. Just a kind of yelp from inside the net. Could almost make me feel sorry for her. As if. "Yeah, we're going to put you on display," I continue when she bobs up above the surface again, her hair plastered across her face with seawater. I smile down at her. "Hey, maybe all your old school friends will come and visit. That'd be nice for you, wouldn't it? We were thinking maybe £5 a visit. What do you think?" "What about my mum? She's stranded on a ship. I've got to find her. And my dad, let me at least get a message to him." "Yeah, right. Mandy, I need you." Dad's calling. "Back soon," I call down to her. "Don't go anywhere now. Oh, sorry, I forgot. You can't." I stand up to see what Dad wants, but I don't need to ask. The boat has leveled out. All is calm. But just ahead of us is something I'd almost forgotten about. The darkness spreading like an oil slick in the pale morning light, pulling us in. "Dad, what are we going to do?" He shakes his head. "Oh, I haven't got a clue, love. We've got to get across it somehow." Mum's inching along the side deck to join us. "Jack, are you mad? Have you forgotten what happened last time? The last fortnight foraging for food like beggars after near enough drowning? And that poor captain. Have you? What choice do we have, Maureen? We can think about our choices as soon as you've got us away from here, but I, for one, am not going to gamble with my life when the odds look like that." She points to the sheet of water glistening like glass ahead of us. "Well, I, for one, am not going to live on nuts and berries for the rest of my life," Dad yells. "And I'm not going to go back and watch my home and my livelihood demolished either." "So, you'll kill us all then, will you?" Mum screams. "Mum! Dad!" I try to get between them, but the boat suddenly lurches and I slip across the deck. We're starting to tilt. We're being drawn towards it again. Neither of them is listening anyway. They'd rather scream at each other than try and work out what to do. "Dad!" I yell, clutching the railings as the boat dips further. I nearly fall over the side. Emily is down below in her stupid net. "We're going to capsize again. I'm going to drown out here, all because of her. I can't believe it." The boat lurches again. "I can help," a voice from down below. "What? I'll help you." I grab the railing as the boat leans over. Spray hits us on all sides as we skid through the water, soaking me. She looks up at me pitifully, her big brown eyes round and shiny. I turn away. I bet she's only putting it on anyway. "And why would you do that?" I ask. "I don't want you to die," she says. "I'm meant to believe that, am I? I've got enough on my conscience," she calls up. "I don't need that as well. You can keep me in the net. Just let the rope out. I'll pull you away." I glance over at Mum and Dad. They're not screaming at each other anymore. Mum's trying to make her way over to me. She's not even holding on to anything. "Mum, stay where you are." "Let the rope out," Emily yells. "Do you want to be killed?" I glance at the rope. It's looped round and round over a hook. "Don't try and do anything clever, right? Just do it."
she shouts. It'll be too late in a second.
I lurch over to the back of the boat. One last glance at the water ahead of us. Then I unhook the rope.
I'm warning you,
I shout as I throw it into the water. The coil lands with a splash. Then nothing.
Where's she gone? She's disappeared.
I scan the surface of the water. Where is she? She must be in there somewhere. I'm staring so hard at the water it looks like it's changing colour, getting darker. It is changing colour. There's a shape in there, a huge grey outline of something, something very, very big. Without warning, it bursts through the surface. A piercing, screaming siren sound screeches into the sky as an olive-green tentacle rises up, way up above us, then sears downwards to wrap itself over the top of our boat like an arch.
No!
Mandy! Emily's yelling.
Well, where is she? Did she know it was here? Did she make this happen?
The monster lifts the boat right out of the water, high up into the air. I can see the underside of its tentacle. It looks like a giant worm, extending and retracting, slithery and lumpy. Gasping and retching, I fall against the railing, clutching on for my life. With an almighty crash, it drops us back down onto the water, exploding against the surface.
We're such fools! How could we let it happen again?
She's done this to us. She's made it happen. She tricked us somehow. The thing has tentacles all over us, sliming over the boat, roaming, searching for things to grab and lurch onto. I'm slipping across the deck, water everywhere. It sucks the boat down, it throws it around, tosses us one way and then the other. Any second now we'll all be in the water. Should I pray? As if praying would help. The only thing giving me courage as the boat is thrown over, as I clutch the railings, hold my breath, grab the lifebelt, is one single thought. I'll get you for this, fish girl. I will so get you for this.
Chapter 6. Total stillness. Utter darkness.
What had happened? Where was I? I rubbed my eyes, tried to move. I was still inside the net, trapped under a rock. Out of the darkness, a shape was coming towards me. It looked like a submarine gliding along the very bottom of the sea, black on top, white underneath, large fins flapping below. As it came closer, it opened its jaw, serrated lines of teeth above and below the sharpest bread knives. A killer whale. I grabbed the net, rubbing it hard on the edge of the rock, sawing and scraping frantically. My fingers bleeding and raw, I yanked and tugged at the net.
Come on! Come on! Break!
The string started to fray and tear. I was nearly out. But then the water was swirling all around me, whisking up and round faster and faster like a whirlpool. It was back. The sea filled with giant tentacles, writhing and grasping and sucking. I crouched tight under the rock and prayed it wouldn't see me. Thwack! They crashed against a rock only meters away from me. It split and crumbled instantly. My tail flapped wildly, my teeth rattled so hard my jaw hurt. Crash! The tentacles came down again, scattering a spiralling shoal of barracuda before searching around for their next target. And then they found it. The whale. Jaws wide open, the whale thrashed around, snapping its teeth at the monster. I crouched under my rock as the kraken moved closer, and for the first time I saw its face. I clapped a hand over my mouth, swallowing back a scream. Horned and full of snarling lumps, with huge white eyes on either side of its head, it opened its mouth to reveal teeth like shining daggers. Briefly opened wide, the teeth came crashing together, snapping shut again and again, pulling and tearing at the whale. On and on it went. The whale flung from one side to the other as tentacles and horns and teeth grabbed and tore at its skin. Eventually the thrashing slowed. The whirlpool stopped. The sea began to change colour, blood seeping into the cracks around me.
Go away. Go away.
I said silently, over and over until miraculously the water became calm again, almost as though it had heard me. In the darkness, I cried. Mum. I kept seeing her reaching out to me from the ship, wild and screaming as she was taken further and further away. The image bit into me like wire. I curled into a ball and tried to push it away. I had to find Mandy and her parents. They were my only hope now. I tore at the net till I'd made a hole big enough to squeeze through. Edging out of my hiding place, I forced myself not to think about what I'd just witnessed, although my twitching body made it hard for me to forget. I scanned the water. Nothing. It had gone. Swimming away from the rocks, I searched desperately for something familiar. I soon came to a deep, sandy stretch, rocks on either side. Around them, weeds floated and swayed, surrounding me like a thick curtain. I swam along the sandy channel until it came to a rocky reef, full of holes and ridges and grey peaks like castles and hills. I fought the rising panic in my chest. This wasn't familiar at all. I was completely lost. A large, sullen, grey fish drifted silently ahead of me, hovering like a hawk. Bright blue eyes bore down on me as I passed it. "Who's that?" A voice. A male voice. "Come no further!" The voice called out again. I stopped swimming. "Who are you?" My words bubbled away from me. Silence. Then, "You'll do as I say. I am armed, do you understand?"
Armed? Yes, I understand. Understand? Of course I didn't. I didn't understand any of this.
Out of the shadows, a thin, lanky figure swam towards me. A young merman, maybe in his 20s. He pulled some fishing line out of a packet on his back.
"Hold your arms out."
"Who are you? Why should I—"
"Do as I say,"
he bellowed, reaching for something that looked like a knife by his side. I thrust my arms out in front of me and watched while he tied my wrists together.
"This way."
With that, he turned and swam, pulling me along behind him. All thoughts of my mum and the Kraken and Mandy were dragged away by this, my second capture in one day. I let myself be pulled along. What choice did I have? No strength left to fight this time. The reef stretched and curved, a lunar landscape dotted with ornamental gardens. Deep brown plants lined rocky chasms. Round, boulder-like chunks of coral clung to every surface. Thick, green, spongy tubes waved and pointed threateningly as we passed over them. I glanced at the merman as we swam. He had a thin grey tail with silver rings pierced all along one side. Wild, blonde hair waved over his shoulders. A chain made of bones hung around his neck. We came to a cave with green and blue weeds hanging down from the top of its mouth in a curtain. Crystals were embedded in the rock all around the entrance.
"In here."
He pushed me forward.
"Where are we?"
"You'll see."
Inside, the cave ballooned out into an enormous dome. Crystals, jewels, and gold lined the route. Mosaics filled with gems of every colour swirled along the seabed, a round body, swirling arms.
"Where are we?" I gasped. "Who are you?"
"You'll find out soon enough,"
he replied. We reached a building. It looked like a castle, or a ruin of a castle. Half-collapsed turrets were filled with diamonds. Crumbling walls held pale jewels in clusters around their base. A giant archway for a door, a marble pillar on each side. As we came closer, I could see something embossed on each pillar. A golden seahorse. I knew this archway. I'd seen it before, or another one very much like it. "This is one of Neptune's palaces, isn't it?" I asked, shuddering as I realized we were swimming over a mosaic shaped like a mass of tentacles. The merman didn't reply. Through the arch, a chandelier hung from a high ceiling, jangling with the waters rocking. That confirmed my fear. Neptune had found me. We ducked low to swim through a smaller arch, adorned like the others with elaborate jewels. A wooden door lay ahead. The merman paused to neaten his hair, then he turned a shiny brass handle and nudged me inside. We were in a small room. A stone desk embedded with shells took up half the space. Conches and oyster shells lay scattered on its surface. Next to it, an old merman turned as we came into the room. He had a straggly beard and dark eyes that stared at me, holding me still.
"What's this you found, Kyle?"
the merman asked in a deep grumble. As he spoke, he stroked something lying very, very still by his side. It looked like a giant snake. greeny-yellow with purple teddy bear eyes, its gills slowly opening and closing as its mouth did the same. It swayed its head gently round to face me. A moray eel. I opened and closed my mouth too, rigid with fear. Nothing came out.
"She was trespassing, sir," Kyle answered briskly. "Untie her. She won't try leaving here in a hurry if she has any sense."
The old merman smiled at his pet. It leered back, stretching up almost as tall as him. Kyle clenched his sharp jaw into a scowl as he pulled at the fishing line. I rubbed my wrists.
"Tell us how you got here," he demanded.
"I don't know," I said, tearing my eyes away from the eel. "I don't even know where I am. I had an accident, got lost, and you found me." Then, trying to control the quiver in my voice, I added, "Can I go home?"
"Home?"
The old merman leaned towards me. The eel rolled its neck down into a spiral and closed its eyes.
"And where would that be?"
I looked away from him. "All Points Island." The two of them exchanged a look. What was it? Shock?
"All Points Island," Kyle blurted out. "So you know about..." "Kyle!"
the old merman snapped.
"I'll handle this."
"Of course. Sorry." Kyle drew back, bowing slightly. Pausing briefly to pat the moray, the old merman swam towards me.
"Now then," he said in a voice as slimy as the eel, "I don't believe we've been introduced. I'm Nathiel. And you are?"
"Why should I tell you who I am?" I said, my heart bashing against my chest. "Why won't you let me go? What are you going to do with me?" Nathiel laughed and turned away.
"Questions, questions. Where should we start, Kyle?"
Kyle shuffled his tail, pulling on his necklace. Nathiel waved him away.
"Very well, little girl, I'll tell you who we are, seeing as you've been kind enough to drop in. We are your biggest fear, or your greatest protectors, depending on how you view your situation at this moment."
"You're not my biggest fear," I said, my heart thumping. "My biggest fear is much worse than you."
"Oh, yes?"
Nathiel swam back towards me, no trace of kindness or favour on his face. He twitched his head and the eel rose up, uncoiling itself to slither along behind him. I flinched as it stretched almost up to my face.
"Do you know how powerful we are?"
Nathiel asked in a quiet, biting voice. I shook my head quickly, without taking my eyes off the eel.
"We are Neptune's chosen ones, his elite force, the only ones he trusts with his most prized possession."
Nathiel edged a centimetre closer to me, his cold eyes shining into mine.
"We, little visitor, are the Kraken Keepers."
A million questions jammed into my mind. "The Kraken Keepers? But if you're... but it's..." Nathiel laughed, a throaty sound that echoed round the room. The eel slowly stretched up. It was about 3 times taller than me. "Please don't open your mouth. Please don't open your mouth," I prayed silently as its jaw twitched. With another click of Nathiel's fingers, the eel slithered to the back of the room, folding itself once more into a perfect coil.
"Now," Nathiel said, "that's my side of the introductions. I think it's time we heard a little more about you. You see, we know quite a bit about All Points Island, don't we, Kyle?"
Kyle swam forwards. Copying Nathiel's sneer, he replied,
"Neptune tells us everything."
"That's right.
So, for example, he tells us about merfolk who break his laws."
Nathiel swam further forwards.
"Merfolk who go meddling in places they shouldn't," he added, edging closer still, his nostrils flaring. "Merfolk who wake his beloved Kraken," he shouted.
"But I... how did you know?" I cried. My body was shaking, water frothed around my tail. I tried to make it lie still. Kyle stared at Nathiel.
"Yes, how did you?" "I didn't know," Nathiel replied. "Swam right into it, didn't she? Come on, Kyle. What do you get if you add the Kraken on the loose, an island full of merfolk who know nothing about it, a scared merchild clearly running away from trouble? It's a simple case of mathematics."
"So we found her," Kyle said.
"We've done good work."
Nathiel patted Kyle's arm.
"Neptune will be very pleased with us. Very pleased indeed."
Neptune. You're going to tell him.
My voice quivered.
Of course. That is the whole point. Don't you realize the danger we are all in, you foolish girl?
But Neptune, he'll be furious with me.
You think we give a fin about that?
Kyle snapped.
We need you, all of us. There's more than just yourself to consider.
What do you mean? What use am I to you?
Nathiel shook his head. Kyle, I've had enough of this whinging. I think it's time we got the boss in.
The boss? Neptune? He's coming here?
I squeaked.
Not Neptune, no. One of his most trusted aides.
Nathiel picked up a conch. Turning away from me, he spoke softly into it. I couldn't hear what he said. I quickly scanned the room, looking for an escape. My eyes met the eel's.
Try it,
they seemed to say. I shivered back against the wall.
He'll be along very shortly.
Nathiel put the conch down and tidied some shells on his desk. A moment later, the door opened. I squeezed my eyes shut in terror. Someone was swimming towards me. I bit my lip as hard as I could, forcing tears away.
Well, what have we here, then?
A voice said. A creepy voice. A very familiar voice. My eyes snapped open to see a crooked smile, an odd pair of eyes, one green, one blue.
It couldn't be.
Hello, Emily,
said Mr. Beeston.
He turned to the others. Good work, both of you,
he said, snapping something around my wrists. Handcuffs made from lobster's legs. They bit and scratched at me. Then he pushed me towards the door.
I'll take over now,
he said, before turning back to give me another of his lopsided smiles.
It's time we were reacquainted.
M.
How could they let this happen? Twice! I can't believe my parents. I can't believe I agreed to this stupid holiday in the first place. We're hanging on to our useless broken boat, lying across it, gripping onto ropes. Only problem is, it's upside down. How long before it sinks and we totally end our holiday in style? I grab the rope tighter as the swell carries us up and down. My stomach seesaws with it. Are we through that whatever it was? That great big sheet of glass in the middle of the ocean? And the other thing? I refuse to think about it. It didn't happen. Mum and Dad haven't mentioned it. I must have imagined it. Delirious, that's what I am. It was probably just the waves. Or a vision, because I've seen it before. A memory. Yes, that's it. Definitely. A mirage. It's nothing to worry about. I'm just cracking up. Maureen! Mandy, look!
Dad lets go of the rope with one hand and points out to sea.
It's a ship, coming towards us. Wave! Both of you, splash your feet!
Dad yells. For the first time in our lives, Mum and I do what he says without arguing. The ship's coming closer and closer. Have they seen us?
They must have. There's nothing except us moving for miles all around us. We're kicking and yelling, every atom of hope screaming out of us. I can't splash any more, Dad. My legs are killing me.
I stop for a moment while I catch my breath. The ship stopped moving. They haven't seen us after all.
That's it. There's nothing we can do now.
The realization slams into my mind like a block of ice.
We're going to die.
But then I notice something attached to the ship.
Look!
They're lowering a lifeboat into the water.
It's coming to get us. We've been saved.
Chapter 7 Mr. Beeston unhooked the lobster claws from my wrists and pulled out a couple of jelly-like cushions. He motioned me to sit down on one of them while settling himself on the other. I'd hardly ever seen him as a merman. He was half-human and half-merperson like me, the only other one I'd met. He looked just as creepy either way, with his crooked teeth and his crooked smile and the odd-coloured eyes that stared at you from the corners. We were in a bubble-shaped room. It felt like the inside of a huge round shell. No windows, just one small hole divided by thick metal bars. Tiny chinks of light threw pencil-thin beams across the darkness. A black damselfish with fluorescent purple spots and a bright yellow tail wove between the rays. I tried to stay calm. My mind wouldn't stop racing, though.
What were they going to do with me? Would anyone find me? Dad? Shona? Were they looking for me? And what about Mum and Millie? My heart ached at the thought of them on that ship. They'd be miles away by now. What are you doing here? I asked in a daze. Among the millions of questions racing round in my head, it was the only one I could seem to form into words.
Surprised to see me? He asked, his voice slipping across the room like slime.
Of course I'm surprised to see you. Who's looking after the lighthouse in Brightport?
The lighthouse? Mr. Beeston laughed.
Emily, why would I be looking after a lighthouse?
It's what you do.
The lighthouse was a cover. You know that.
Oh, yes, of course, I said numbly.
I'd found out before we left Brightport that Mr. Beeston was one of Neptune's agents and that he'd been spying on us to make sure we never found out about Dad. Well, it didn't work, did it? I found my dad. I'd beaten Mr. Beeston once. Maybe I could do it again.
But that still doesn't explain...
I was promoted, Mr. Beeston said, a crooked grin twitching at the side of his mouth.
For my bravery and good work.
Good work? I spluttered. Is that what you call turning me and Mum over to Neptune? You were meant to be our friend. We could have been thrown in prison like my dad.
I squeezed my eyes shut and pressed my fingernails tightly into my palms. I wasn't going to cry. He wasn't having that satisfaction. Mr. Beeston flicked his tail nervously.
Well, Emily, I did my duty. And look, I was needed here. They're working on rebuilding this palace, and there's a lot to do, monitoring activity in the area and keeping a gill open for any Kraken-related incidents.
He narrowed his eyes at me accusingly. So what are you going to do with me?
Do with you? It's not about what I want to do with you. It's about what you need to do for us.
What do you mean? Mr. Beeston shuffled forward in his cushion. I shuffled backwards in mine. He tightened his lips.
I am still an agent of Neptune's, you know, he said sharply. One of the highest ranking of all now. And if I tell you that you are going to do something, you will do it. You don't question my authority.
I folded my arms, anxiously flicking my tail while I waited for him to continue.
We are all in grave danger. The Kraken is on the loose. It has to be calmed and brought back to Neptune.
But what's that got to do with me?
He held my eyes for a long time before replying. You, Emily, are the only one who can do it.
Someone was banging on the outside of the shell. Mr. Beeston opened the porthole-shaped door we'd come through. Kyle surged into the room on a sudden wave. It flung me against the wall.
Sir, he said breathlessly, I've had a sighting. It's coming close at the sea. It's getting rough.
Thank you, Kyle. Good work, Mr. Beeston said.
It's heading towards the palace, Kyle panted. I think it's going to get us all. We might have to make our escape.
Make our escape? Are you off your fins, boy? Mr. Beeston barked.
Have you been given the wrong job? You have one purpose and one purpose only. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir, Kyle reddened. I'm sorry.
Now don't let it out of your sight. I'm dealing with it. Have some faith.
Kyle retreated, leaving a swirling cloud of silt behind him. Are you going to explain any of this to me? I asked as Mr. Beeston swam back into the room. A tiny silver fish swam towards him, slithering across his stomach. He batted it away.
The Kraken is Neptune's pet, Mr. Beeston began.
I know that.
And it sleeps for 100 years. Without its full sleep, it wakes in a murderous rage.
I know that too.
Stop interrupting me, child. I shall tell you the story my way or not at all.
I slammed my mouth shut.
All but Neptune are forbidden to approach the Kraken during its sleep. Neptune is the only one who should wake it, and only at the allotted time. You see, when it wakes, the only person it will listen to is the one who wakes it, the one it sees first on opening its eyes. This should only ever be Neptune. But this time, it was you.
You mean?
Yes, Emily, the Kraken will obey you and only you.
I realized I wasn't saying anything. My mouth moved, opened, closed. Nothing.
The Kraken would obey me and only me?
I slumped back against the wall, my mind empty, my limbs numb. A thin ray of